Welcome to another broadcast of Celebrating Truth with Dr. E. Fay Williams, Esquire, on the Artist First Radio Network. Dr. Williams currently serves as National Chair of the National Congress of Black Women and President of Natural Health Options. All past shows can be downloaded free on demand. Visit the archives for Dr. Williams and Celebrating Truth at artistfirst.com. And now, here's your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you so much, Tony. Hello, I'm Fay Williams, your host, and welcome to Celebrating Truth, brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. Our Celebrating Truth producer is Miss Clem Clark out there in sunny California. I suppose it's sunny, but anyway, she's on the West Coast. And we want to thank her for all the work she does to make this show possible. She's always finding these great guests. I don't know where she gets them, but she just keeps on finding them. And I want to do a little shout-out, too, to Ted Terry over in Los Angeles, because Ted is our executive producer, I guess you would say, and he's always helping us to find guests, too, and giving us ideas and telling us what to do, whether we want to do it or not. But anyway, we thank both Clem and Ted for the support they give to Celebrating Truth. We also want to send a little shout-out to our friends in Occupy, Occupy D.C., Occupy Wall Street, all the Occupies across the country, because they are definitely weathering the storm that many of them are facing, and some of them are even being evicted, but they're hanging in there. We don't want to forget the vital role they're playing to redirect the attention of our lawmakers to the needs of the 99%, of which I am one, and I assume many of you are, but not just to the 1%, which always seems to get the attention, especially over there in Congress. And, of course, Dick Gregory, Art Rocker, and I continue to lead the effort against British Petroleum on behalf of the poor and the underserved around the country. These poor people who were damaged by the BP oil spill have still not been paid by this company, so it's time for them to get paid. The last time we went down to Houston a couple of weeks ago, and we had Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee call us all together to try to help people get some money before Christmas. So, of course, Mr. Feinberg, who is the administrator for the British Petroleum Fund, says he's going to do that. Of course, we've heard a lot of promises before. So we just hope you'll send up a little prayer that some of the people will be paid by Christmas. And don't forget, 2012 elections are coming up soon. Remember to register. Remember to update your registration, especially if you've moved, and register in a party so you can help to decide who your party's nominee will be. I already know who mine will be, but you never know who hasn't made up their mind yet. So take a careful look at the candidates so you'll have no trouble deciding who the best candidate is. Again, I already know who is, but remember what you support and match those things up with the candidates who support the same things you support. Then it's your responsibility to go out and help to get them elected. For example, if you're talking about things that you want, I know these are things I want. That's affordable health care, keeping dependents on health care until they're at least 26, providing more funds for historically black colleges and universities around the country, extending unemployment insurance for those still without jobs, equal pay for women, appointing more women to the United States Supreme Court. And, you know, you don't want to have to worry about Bin Laden being around every day. Do you want to protect and expand the rights of people to vote and protect their social security in wars? Like, you know, many of our troops will be coming home in a few days. Some have already started to come home from one war. We got another one we got to end. And in the case of the presidential election, the choice will be easy. Can you believe Governor Rick Perry does not know the voting eligibility age? Well, he doesn't. Can you believe that an energy plan in the news every day is not a country? And that it's not wise to eliminate the education department, not when so many of our children need so much education. But anyway, let me get off that soapbox and say Celebrating Truth is brought to you by the National Congress of Black Women. We are the number one organization dedicated especially to the needs of black women and their families. We're delighted to bring Celebrating Truth to you every week. So visit our website at www.nationalcongressbw.org. You will find lots of great information, including greetings from First Lady Michelle Obama. If you'd like to join the great things that we do in the community and across the nation, let us know by calling 202-678-6788. Keep up with that number. It's 202 678-6788. Maybe you'd like to be a donor to some of our community service programs. You can do that also at nationalcongressbw.org. Right now, we're in the process of getting our own office, our own NCBW house. So if you feel like you want to help us out by getting it furnished, just go to nationalcongressbw.org and contribute to our office home. And when you come to Washington, don't forget to stop by the Capitol Visitor Center and see Sojourner Truth. That memorial is one that our organization donated to the U.S. Congress, and Sojourner presides over Emancipation Hall, being the first to be unveiled there and being the first black woman ever to have a permanent memorial in the United States Congress. She made history all over again. Yes, we celebrate women of all kind and all of their achievements. Recently, the men of Omega Sci-Fi fraternity came to town, and they went to visit Sojourner Truth, and we want to invite you to do the same when you come to Washington. Check out our website, and you'll see the Omegas there visiting Sojourner Truth at the Capitol. We invite you also to support our efforts by being a member of the National Congress of Black Women. There are a lot of awesome things going on in our community. We have to celebrate our own truth because we either get left off mainstream media or too often we find ourselves denigrated. So let us know if you have a story you want to tell here on Celebrating Truth. Call us at 202-678-6788 or email us at info@nationalcongressbw.org. That's BW for Black Women. And we'll be happy to help you tell your story. Now let's go to our very special guest today, Becky Halstead. How are you, Becky?
I'm doing wonderful tonight. And how are you?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm on a roll. When we get started with Celebrating Truth, I'd like for you to know I'm celebrating because there's so many good things that women are doing out there, and we like to bring them to the attention of our listeners.
Well, you are on a roll. I was.
Yeah, well, yeah, you founded your own leader consultancy company called Steadfast Leadership, I believe.
Yes, I did. I did that, and I began in 2010.
Mm-hmm. And how did you happen to go into that?
Well, I retired from the military in 2008 after 27 years as an officer, and then I also had 4 years at West Point. And leadership is our primary responsibility.
So you're just rolling over that like West Point. Go back and tell us that again. We don't know many women who've hung out at West Point.
yes, ma'am. I went to West Point in 1977, so that was the second class of women. And the first class came in 1976. That's the first year the academies were open. All the academies were open to women. And I was a junior in high school, and I was planning on going to Ithaca College and being a gym teacher and coach and minoring in music. And my mother read in the newspaper that the academies were opening to women, and she said, "I think this sounds just like you." And I looked around the room, and there was no other you in the room. I was hoping another sister or brother was in the room because I wasn't so sure that's what I wanted to do.
Now, see, that sounds like something a father would say, but your mother, man, that means your mother was very hip to allow her daughter to go into such a thing so long ago. But many women, as you said, were not thinking about having leadership roles in the military. Now, I know you also specialize in inspirational and motivational speaking. Tell us a little bit about your work in that area.
Well, I've really enjoyed taking what I have learned over the years and applied over the years in the military and kind of exporting that, if you will, to the corporate sector. And what I find that's been very contagious is that the stories of leading men and women, both in peacetime and in combat, that the leadership principles that we use in the military are very, very applicable to the corporate sector. It's really about having a value system, having your behaviors reflect your values, and having a purpose for your life, or for your company, for your church, for your organizations that you're in. And so I've just kind of taken that and really a little bit through word of mouth and reputation more than anything else. I don't spend a great deal of time marketing. I just have had a couple of doors open, and when a few doors open, another few open, and so I've really enjoyed speaking to large financial institutions, or just several large corporations. And at the same time, I enjoy speaking at different colleges. I really love students. We're taught in the military to train, and that's all about coaching and teaching, and I find that young men and women are very are surprisingly open to want to learn about what it means to be a leader. And what I do, Faye, is the first premise is this, and that is that the first person you must lead is yourself. If you don't lead yourself, you cannot lead others. And I love it when I walk into a room to speak to people, and you know how it goes sometimes. Not everybody really wants to be there. So you look for those clouds outside of certain people's heads that go, why am I here? I can't believe my boss made me come. I don't lead anybody. And so I try to capture their attention right from the beginning that, yes, you do lead someone. You lead yourself. And if we can lead ourselves better, think what we can do in our families, in our communities, in our government, in our church. So that's kind of where I just started taking off on it, and it's been a lot of fun.
In other words, we get to practice on ourselves so we can perfect it when we get to somebody else. Right?
Absolutely. And not only that, but we should never demand of someone else something we're not willing to do ourselves. And that was a very high standard in the military. A general should not ask their soldiers to do things that they would not be willing to do themselves. And that's at all ranks, lieutenant, captain, right on up. So.
Now, you graduated from the United States Military Academy, and I read that you achieved an historic milestone as the first female graduate of West Point to be promoted to general officer. Tell us what it was like for that to happen.
Well, the day and the promotion was amazing. It is a very odd feeling to kind of look in the mirror and go, everybody's saying you're historical. And, I was always the jokester, so I was used to being hysterical, but being historical was a little bit different. So it was an exciting moment. I had my family, many, many people from my hometown fly to Germany for the actual promotion. It was exhilarating. But as I tell many people, the fanfare lasts for about an hour. The responsibility lasts for much longer, and it's the responsibility that you better be willing and ready and wanting. If you're just doing it for the ceremony, you're in it for the wrong game. And so, but I would be lying to tell you that it wasn't pretty exciting and very fun, especially fun for me because my parents are still living, and for them to be able to enjoy that, they're my best friends, and they have been at every promotion, at every change of command. They have followed my career and been a big part of it. And so for them to still be living, and they're still living today as well, but I mean, at that moment was very fun for me to be able to see them enjoy that. So,
well, it's always a blessing to have your parents see what you're making of yourself and what they've helped to make you become. Just on Saturday, I received a birthday card from my mother, and she sent me a picture of herself. She was in the newspaper. And at 90 years old, my mother was chosen Volunteer of the Month.
I love it.
So I said, we don't often get a chance to tell our parents how proud we are of them.
Right.
But that was a moment, I've got to call my mom and let her know I got that birthday card and that I'm so proud of her, because I have so many friends who at 40, 50, 60 years old would never make Volunteer of the Month, would never be able to do many of the things my mom is doing. So I'm really very proud of her.
Right.
And I'm sure your parents tell you often that they are proud of you. And I think we women have to tell each other. And, I was just blown away when I read about all the things that you've done and that you're doing. So I want to congratulate you and tell you I'm proud of you for what you're doing. And I want to mention another situation in which you were senior commanding general for logistics in Iraq. Now, I've been to Iraq a lot of times over the years, and I know what a challenge that must have been. Tell us a little bit about your experience there. You were also the first female in U.S. history to command in combat at the strategic level. You've just got a whole bunch of firsts here, but tell us about your experience in Iraq.
Well, the year in Iraq that I was there was 2005 to 2006, and I was blessed to have a wonderful team. It was the 3rd Corps Support Command, 20,000 soldiers, 5,000 civilians, and our responsibility was distribution of logistics across all of Iraq. So we did a lot of work with bringing supplies also via Kuwait, Jordan, and Turkey. So pretty much the best way to explain it is if if you shot it, if you ate it, if you drank it, if you used fuel in your vehicle, anything along those lines, water, drinking water, potable water for showers, everything, the command that I was responsible for had some hand in distributing those supplies all around the battlefield. So the year itself was hands down the most challenging year of my life, the most rewarding year of my life, and in many ways, probably the saddest year of my life, because we did have losses. And that, of course, is the hardest thing as a commander and as a soldier. But very rewarding when you can see how so many dedicated men and women are willing to serve selflessly, serve namelessly, leave their families, you know, for a year at multiple times to do what they've been asked to do by our country and our nation. You know, and that sort of camaraderie, you cannot replace. There's really nothing else like it. It is the reason why so many people, when they return, have challenges, because you miss that so much, and there's so much purpose in your life when you're on a very strong, cohesive team like that with a real mission every day. And it was challenging. I mean, I was the only female commanding general. There were other female generals, but they were on staff versus being in command. And so that was an interesting dynamic to be the only female commanding general. That included, you know, going to Baghdad, you know, often, and meeting with the Iraqi division commanders as well. And so I found that it was pretty exhilarating to earn their respect, and for them to see that truly it's about what's on the inside that matters and not what's on the outside, and that women are playing an incredible role and bringing success on many fronts. And so once people kind of get beyond the fact that, you know, you're female, but you're talented, you have character, you're competent, it was amazing to see the integration and the acceptance. Maybe not always the appreciation, but, you know, there's still room for improvement there. But we had a great team. We had a great team, and probably one of the best teams I've ever been on.
Becky, we're proud of you, and we'll be really, really happy when we can say, you know, you're a great female, you did great in this job, and take that butt out so that
right. It's
not unusual that a woman has done these things.
Right.
Because we've always done great things, they just haven't always been recognized.
Right.
But again, I know that leaders and general officers never retire, although your bio says the culmination of your career came in 2006 when you became, again, the first female chief of ordnance and commanding general of the Army's Ordnance Center and Schools, which is equivalent to being president of a university, another first. Again, something I'm sure your parents are very proud of, but just a little bit about what you did there and was it difficult to make that decision to retire when you were having so many firsts and doing so many great things?
Well, it was very difficult. I mean, I think that was one of the toughest decisions, personal decisions I had to make while I was in the Army, was the decision to put my retirement paperwork in. I was, it was just prior to, I was being considered for my second star, the two-star promotion board was meeting. I had to tell that board that to not consider me. But I made the decision because I had been diagnosed with chronic fibromyalgia, and I'd actually been diagnosed about 3 years previous. And I just kept trying to gut it out. I gutted it out in Iraq, and I figured if I could do it there, I could do it certainly back as the chief of ordnance and running the ordnance schools for the Army. But what I really came to the realization, like, your mother has lived to be 90. My grandmother lived to be 100. And congratulations, by the way, to your mom. Mm-hmm. That is, as we say in the Army, that is absolutely hua, that she was Volunteer of the Month. And by the way, happy belated birthday to you. I was able to have such encouragement all my life from people like my grandmother and my mom and my dad. And You know, and when I decided to retire, they encouraged me to make the best decision for me. And I want to live to be 100, and I want to be healthy. And at the end of the day, I wasn't healthy, and I had to figure that out. And the military, as great as our military is, our military first defaults to, if you have pain, a prescription drug, you know, surgery, these sort of things. And I was taking quite a fair amount of prescription drugs. I have a list of over 15 that I'd been given in my last couple years. And all that was really doing was masking my problem, and I knew that I wasn't getting any better, and I just decided I needed to do something different. And I had gotten some wonderful care through the chiropractic, my doctor of chiropractic. And so, unfortunately, in the military, we do not have doctors of chiropractic at all of our military treatment facilities. It is a benefit for all of our active duty and our veterans, but it has not been resourced by the military yet. And I, you know, I had no idea how much help they would be to me. But when I retired because of my illness, I went full-time into getting care through my chiropractor. And they introduced me to a better nutrition. I mean, you would think in the military we're so fit that mm-hmm. we would know all about nutrition. But we're horrible at nutrition in the military. What we know about is running 4 miles, you know, doing 12-mile foot marches with full rucksacks. We can do push-ups and pull-ups, and we know how to gut it out, and we know how to not complain. But we don't know how to take care of our bodies. We can take care of our vehicles and our weapons like no other army in the world, but we don't take care of ourselves. And I had to learn at the age of 49, how to take care of myself. And that sounds crazy, but that's exactly what I needed. And 3 years later now, Dr. Williams, I take no prescription drugs, zero. I have the most energy, and I feel the best I have felt in 10 years. And so kind of my nonprofit work and my, you know, really trying to continue to stay connected with the military and make a difference is I want to push every button I can push to get chiropractic where it belongs in every treatment facility, like Congress passed in 2000 as a benefit for us, and then introduce whole food nutrition and supplements to our military men and women, because they deserve it, they need it, they are run down physically. And I think we owe that to them for their service to our nation. So that's kind of my soapbox, and I apologize for going on a run there probably, but that's, I spent a lot of time working on that. I'm very passionate about it and committed about it, because when I had to walk out of the Army after 27 years, a lot of experience walked out the door, and I kind of feel like I didn't have to leave if I could have gotten the right care in the military. Does that make sense?
It does, and I want you to know I agree with every bit of what you said. I'm sort of like you about that whole food and not taking prescriptions and what.
Yeah.
I'm a bit older than you are, but I'm feeling wonderful, much better than I have felt most of the earlier years of my life. And I too believe in eating right and physical fitness and all of those good things. And you mentioned volunteering, and you know, as I said to you, my mom at 90 volunteers.
Yes.
At her senior citizen center. And I mean, she does real work. And to let my mom tell it, she teaches those old people how to use the machines.
I love it.
But she's the same way. She has no aches or no pains.
Right.
If you even, you know, think that she can't do something, she'll challenge you. Don't tell her she can't do something. We are about to take her on her 90th birthday cruise shortly here. So she's looking forward to it, because when we took her on her 85th, she didn't miss a beat. I don't care whether it was midnight, if something were going on that ship, she was out there. You know, she's up and she's energetic and going all the time. And I just love it, and I feel blessed to, you know, have a mom like that.
That's outstanding. I mean, and you know, the thing is when you really think about your life, and all of us should think strongly about what is our purpose, why are we here, you know, and your mom is making a difference. And so, you know, and I know that she gets energy from the people that she helps. And I think I know that because I feel the same way, and you must feel the same way.
That's the hardest thing to get people to understand. If you get up and go, you're going to feel better, you know?
Right, and if you volunteer, that you're not losing time, you're gaining time, you're gaining energy. And, you know, I think so many times we go, oh, I just don't have time. I drive up to D.C., and I, in the summers, now two summers in a row, I've been involved with Lead America for young children, 6th grade through 12th grade. And it's all about leadership, and they study different case studies, Washington, Lincoln, and then they get to see, you know, Washington, D.C., and our nation's capital and how the government works. And then they bring in guest speakers. And so I've gone up there and volunteered, I think, 4 times now. And I love these kids. And every time I walk away going, I feel more energized and more willing to do more of this, not less of this. And so, you know, you're just never robbed of your own time. It's when you give to others.
For those of you who may be just joining us, we're talking with Becky Halstead, and we've had a wonderful conversation thus far, but we're going to talk a little bit more. You know, Becky, I haven't even gotten to the questions I was planning to ask you. It's been such the conversation has flowed so naturally that I never got to those. But last week we interviewed someone from Girls, Gals, and Gurus, and I noticed you're on the board of directors of that group. I can see that you, spread your talents out, and I want to thank you for that. But tell us a little bit about Girls, Gals, and Gurus and what you do with them.
Well, I love Girls, Gals, and Gurus. First of all, don't be the title is a little deceiving. You'd think only women can go, but we say the brave men also attend these conferences because they want to know what it's like to live with, work with, and maybe even be subordinate to a female boss. And so it's a wonderful, diverse group. Our focus is on health and wellness, taking care of yourself, leading yourself. If you're a better you, then you're going to have a better team, whether, again, like I said earlier, whether that's your family or your church or your community. And so last week you had Dr. Carol Ann Malizia on, and she's extremely dynamic and an expert on nutrition. She's a doctor of chiropractic. She is the doctor of chiropractic who took me under her wing and helped me get to where I am today. And what she always stressed was she can only just guide me. I have to be willing to participate. And I think this is the difference between what chiropractic and other doctors offer. You know, any other doctor, they just wanted me to be quiet and they would tell me what was wrong with me instead of letting me participate since it's my own body and really figure this thing out. But the Girls, Gals, and Gurus is a one-day event, and what we received tremendous feedback. The last conference we did was in Poughkeepsie. We'd love to bring it to D.C. at some point because we really believe we'd have no trouble filling seats with women, especially women, who are interested in taking their life to the next level. And it's on all these things, Dr. Williams, that we've been talking about. It inspires hope. It's education on the right things to eat, the wrong things to eat, the right way to think, thinking differently. I'm a big believer in diversity of thought. And when you hear, there's usually 5 different speakers. One of the ladies we had at the last conference, she analyzes handwriting. And she, Beverly, was incredible. I mean, I was a little hesitant to let her, you know, look at my handwriting, but it all came out okay. But
You don't write like a doctor, do you?
you can read it, but, you know, she has everything from which way your handwriting is slanted and loops and hoops. But it was really quite fascinating. And most of the speakers are authors. They've written books. So we've had 2 doctors of chiropractic at the last event. So it's just it's a very inspiring day, and we encourage bring a best friend, bring your mother, bring your daughter, bring your sister, and again, like I said, the feedback was incredible after our last conference. I mean, I've received a ton of email, which tell me when the next event is, which for now in Poughkeepsie, it's going to be 10 May, And people are already wanting to bring other people. And we also show them, we also provide during the day, we show them the right foods to eat, and we eat really well, really healthy. We have the day catered so that people are, in fact, eating healthy food. So it's just a great day. It's really a vacation day. I tell people, I guarantee you when you walk into the conference hall that you will feel like what you've really done is treated yourself like to a spa day. I mean, this is enjoyable. It's worth a day's vacation if that's what you need to take. And you know what? You deserve it. You deserve it. And so many people aren't willing to take care of themselves. You know, they think they're cheating someone else out when they do.
Oh, well, let me know about it, because it sure sounds like something I would want to do. But I want to congratulate you also on your National Women's History Project Award for Generations of Women Moving History Forward, and second for serving as a commissioner on the President's Military Leadership Diversity Commission. I'm very proud to also serve on one of the President's commissions now for National Scholars. So I always love meeting others who are doing similar things, and I see that you and I have so many similar interests that I hope we can have you back on the program sometime. Do you have a way that, say, young women, if they're thinking about doing some of the things that you're doing, they want to get more involved and they'd like to just talk with someone about it before they make a decision, is there a way to reach you, a public way to reach you?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. If they just go to www.beckyhalstead.com, and that's Halstead with one L, that's my website. I have a contact me, and they can email me or come to me personally, and I'm pretty driven to respond to all of those. And then also on my website, I have a direct link to GGG, some of the not-for-profit associations that I really believe in are on there. But I would be, you know, happy to try to guide or, you know, help anybody that might be out there that wants to just chat about some of these things. I'd be happy to either chat with them or maybe point them in the right direction, because I think that's what we're here to do, to encourage and to serve others. So that would be the best way to reach me.
Well, thank you so much, Becky. It's been a real pleasure talking with you. And as I said, I hope we can have you back on the program at some time. Let us know what you're doing, and perhaps you can share some of your post-retirement stories with us. And I'm sure we'll be happy to hear those.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity, and I was thrilled to see that you were also a commissioner, because so many people really don't understand what that's all about. And that was an incredible experience for me to be on the Commission for Diversity. And I think that when I went into it, I probably was not a very good thinker when it came to diversity. And so walking out of it 18 months later, I'm a better American for having served on that commission, and I hope we really move things forward for our military in that regard.
Isn't it wonderful what experience will do for you?
It is, it is.
Thank you so much, Becky. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with another special guest, a young woman whose name is Kenzie. She's only 16 years old, and you're going to enjoy hearing about her experiences over these past few years and what she's about to do. We'll be right back.
And now back to Celebrating Truth with your host, Dr. Williams.
Thank you so much, Corey. Welcome back to Celebrating Truth. We've just had a wonderful guest on, and we've got another wonderful, wonderful young guest coming up in just a moment. But I want to ask you to join the National Congress of Black Women and help us with all of the wonderful work we're doing around the country. We're really excited right now because we're about to get our own new home office here in Washington, D.C., and we hope that when you come to Washington, you'll stop by and see us. You can go to our website at www.nationalcongressbw.org and find out about some of the wonderful programs we have, such as College for Kids for 9 to 12-year-olds, where we take them on a college campus and we teach them about all the wonderful things they can be in life. We have College for Teens, where we have a residential program for teens on a college campus. And finally, we have Young Ambassadors that we teach diplomatic skills. They've got a program coming up soon. So give us a call at 202-678-6788 and ask us more about what we do, as well as go to our website at www.nationalcongressbw.org. That's nationalcongressbw.org, and you can see all of our initiatives there. Hello, Ms. Kenzie Hutchins. How are you?
Hello. I'm well. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. And I have been reading about you and talking with one of your friends about you, and I know that you are an amazing new artist. That are you still 16? That's just so young. Tell me you're 17 now.
I just turned 17 on the 9th.
All right. Belated happy birthday then.
Thank you. I'm about to have
one in 2 weeks.
Oh, really? Well, happy early birthday.
Mm-hmm. But you've got so many exciting things going on in your life. I don't know how I would have handled it all at 16. But let's talk about your music a little bit. We're going to come back to it, but I know that you recently signed with Interscope Records, and we'll talk about that in just a moment.
Yes.
But at what age did you first have an interest in music and performing?
I mean, I've always had a strong interest in music, but when I was about 7 was when I first asked my mom to be in, like, singing lessons and do shows and stuff.
Now, I know that I met some young women from Boston who were in the Varsity Girls. Did you know any of them?
Yes, I knew a few of them, actually. Some of them went to my school.
Are some of them still in high school?
Yes, one of them is still in high school.
Now, I know when we grow up or as we're growing up, even when we're older in life, there are people who influence us. But do you have, what was your musical inspiration? I mean, are there people in your life who sort of moved you in that direction, a teacher or whomever?
I mean, my mom has played a really big part in, like, me really, like, striving to be successful. But I definitely look up to Beyonce. Like, I want to be just like her because she's just such a strong, independent woman, and, like, I look up to that a lot. And she has a beautiful voice, so, like, I want to be just like her.
And she's got a beautiful body and all that stuff, right?
What wouldn't want to be like that?
Yeah, I saw her on television last night. I said, wow, you go, girl. She was looking good.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Now, I hear you're performing maybe as early as tomorrow.
Yes, I am. I have a show tomorrow.
Okay, and this is going to be an anti-bullying rally, I believe. So would
yes.
you tell our listeners a little bit about that and what part you're going to play in it?
It's a convention for high school and middle school students about, obviously, anti-bullying. And I'll be performing, and it plays a big part in my life because I was actually bullied in middle school for being small. So, I mean, it's a really important subject. It's a touchy subject, and so it means a lot to me. I'm so excited to be doing this and standing up for kids that can't really speak out and are afraid to talk about it.
Now, how did you, I know you said that you were involved in it. Did someone bully you, like publicly, or was it a private thing? How did that occur?
A lot of times it happened at school, most of the time at lunch, because I was so, like, skinny, and, like, boys would come up to me and, like, throw my lunch away and be like, oh, you don't need this anyways, like, and, like, girls would, like, pick on me and, like, throw food at me and stuff like that. So, like, I was definitely, like, the quiet one in school.
Mm-hmm. But I'll bet some of them are really jealous now when they hear about what you're doing.
Yeah, a lot of them are very surprised and are coming back apologizing now.
Now, you know, some people just kind of withdraw when they're bullied or when they have a problem. But what made you decide to go public and perhaps to try to help others who might be bullied?
Probably the fact that, like, there's been a lot of suicides because of it. And I've watched my friends go through it, and obviously I've been through it, and it's just like, it was just, I couldn't be quiet about it anymore. It's not fair to anybody. Like, no one should be afraid to speak up about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your parents encourage you to do this, or did you just decide
first,
on your own?
At first, I would talk to my parents about it, and like they would say, like, oh, you need to go to the school, and like I would be afraid because I thought it was going to get worse. But then when my mom called the school and, like, got me to talk, like, it actually made things a lot better. Like, it stopped as soon as I went to the school and, like, told my principal about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you nervous about what you're going to tell the young people tomorrow?
No, not nervous, because I know that they're willing to listen, because they're kids my age and, like, they want to be there. So I think that everyone will listen to what I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Will there be others on the program with you, or is this a program you're doing all by yourself?
There'll be others. I'm not really sure, like, who else. I know that there's someone, a guest star from American Idol going. There's a band called Fairhaven. So I'm not the only performer.
Mm-hmm. And just in case we have some listeners who are in the Boston area, can you tell us a little bit more about where the event is and whether it's open to the public?
It is open to the public, and it's at Northeastern College in Boston, which I don't really know exactly where it is, but it's free. It's a free event, so anybody can go and sit down. It'll be a lot of fun, and I'm sure people should go.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you were bullied, I think, in middle school and earlier, and you really care about helping kids and exposing this growing problem. What would you say to other young people who are being bullied now? I mean, those who may not be there tomorrow night, what kind of advice would you give them if they're being bullied?
Don't be afraid to speak up, because a lot of times when people stay quiet about it, that's when, like, deeper problems come up, like suicide or being depressed. So, like, you can't be afraid to stand up for yourself or even just tell someone.
Now, have you spoken to large groups like you're going to speak to tomorrow night? Have you spoken to large groups like that before?
No, this would be my first.
Oh, wow, wonderful. And there'll probably be just thousands of kids there, huh?
Yeah, so it's going to be about 5,000 people.
Wow. Well, we're going to be sending you some energy tomorrow, because we know you're going to do well, and we want you to be real, real strong, because we know this is such an important subject, the bullying. Now, do you have a definition for bullying, just so that if there are young people listening and they're not sure whether they're being bullied or not, how do we describe, what are some of the things that a person does to you if they're bullying you?
I mean,
I know you talked about, like, taking your lunch and that kind of thing.
Yeah, like, it can go either way. Like, it can be physical or, like, verbal. Like, if they, like, knock you down, make you feel less than what you are, like, I mean, if they, like, push you around, obviously, like, but, I mean, bullying is however you take it. If you feel uncomfortable and, like, you feel afraid to go to school, like I was, like I would consider that bullying. Like, if you feel uncomfortable in a place because of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we've been hearing a bit about, I think it's called cyberbullying, and there have actually been some suicides, as you mentioned, behind that. What exactly is cyberbullying?
It's when kids attack you on the internet, which I think is so much worse, because like you try to escape it, like you leave school and you think it's going to be all over, and then like you go home and like people are attacking you on Facebook or like, you know what I mean? So it's really like there's no way to get away from it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And then that perhaps can go even further. It can just go viral, and and more people are hearing about the bullying that somebody is doing, so it probably hurts even more. Now, you grew up in New Bedford, am I correct?
Yes.
New Bedford, Massachusetts. And you were discovered as a singer, so we want to get to that Interscope contract. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, well, yeah, so So I was recently signed to Interscope, which is Lady Gaga's record label. I'm her label mate. And, I've been working on finishing my album. My single will come out in March, and then I'll go on tour. I'll do like 2 months in the States, and then I'll do a month and a half in Europe. And then when I come back, it'll be like the beginning of the summer, and then that's when my album will drop, and then I'll just be doing like worldwide tours. And I'll be a real busy young girl.
So how do you do your schoolwork? Will you be doing this in summers, or you'll have a teacher to travel with you, or what will you do?
Yeah, I'll do, it's online school. It's homeschooling, but a tutor will come with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically like, yeah, it's homeschooling, but it's online.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you met any big stars other than yourself, of course?
I opened for Jason Derulo about 2 years ago, and I know Ricky Bell from Velvet DeVoe, and I've met Lady Gaga once when I was in L.A. I went to the concert and got to talk to her for a little while, so that was awesome.
Wow, Lady Gaga was here in Washington at the White House last week.
Yes, I heard. Speaking about bullying, right?
Now, did you ever meet people like Beyonce, who you mentioned earlier? Did you ever meet her?
No, I've never met her, but I definitely want to in the near future.
Did you ever sing with any big group? You know, someone that was better known at the time than you were?
No, unfortunately not. Like, the only thing I've really done is opening for Jason Derulo, but I still think, like, I consider that a big accomplishment for, like, because I wasn't signed when I got.
When you speak to all these kids on tomorrow at this Stand Up Against Bullying rally, will you be singing for them also? I mean, in addition to talking, will you have an opportunity to sing?
Yes, I'll be singing two original songs.
Tell us a little bit about your music. I mean, we don't know what the names of your songs are, what kind of singing you do.
Well, my music is pop, mostly. I mean, some of it has, like, a little urban twist, but it's all real positive songs about, like, going out and just having fun with your girls and, like, you know, nothing too old because I'm still only 17. But I have the songs I'm performing tomorrow are called, one's called Trouble, and it sounds bad, but it's not. It's just about going out with your friends. and then the second one I'm doing is called Feel So Good, and it's just about, like, just feeling good about yourself no matter what, which is why I'm performing it tomorrow. So.
Now, when you get ready to travel, will your parents be traveling with you?
Yes. My mom comes everywhere with me, and my dad, he works a lot, so he'll come with me when he can.
Well, I want to go back to, first of all, congratulate you on your contract, but I want to go back to bullying just a little bit. Recently, a woman by the name of Norlisha Parker Burke wrote a report. Actually, it's been some time since she wrote the report, and it had to do with bullying, and it's called The Final Report and Findings of the Safe School Initiative, Implications for Prevention of School Attacks in the United States. And she said, one of the things she said in that report was almost three-quarters of the attackers, the bullying people, felt persecuted themselves. They felt they had been bullied or threatened or attacked or injured by others prior to an incident that they do. Have you found that to be the case?
I feel like it is for the most part, because the bulliers are usually insecure about themselves, so they feel the need to attack other people to make themselves feel better. And it's like, I don't know if they go home and, like, feel bad about it later, but I think in the moment they feel good about themselves that, like, someone else is feeling bad for once instead of them. So, yeah, I do feel like a lot of times the person that's doing the bullying is just insecure about themselves.
And then sometimes they may be just using that as an excuse, too. The report goes on to say that in a number of the incidents of targeted school violence, that attackers described being bullied in terms that suggest that these experiences approach torment for them. You know, it's often said that, for instance, when someone is a victim of, I mean, you know, does domestic violence, that they have seen domestic violence in their family, their parents, you know, had domestic violence against one another. I've never seen that, you know, as I've never felt that that was a good excuse to do it. It would just seem like a person would be more sensitive if they've been a victim of something, that they would be more sensitive to
yeah.
it. Yeah, and it would prevent them from doing it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I would agree with you, because I feel like you choose what you want to do with your life, and like I feel like if you were a victim of abuse, like why would you want someone else to go through it too? Because like you know what it feels like
mm-hmm.
to be hurt and to like feel bad about yourself. So I don't understand, like that's not a good enough excuse, because you should know better.
Right. Do you think bullying should be more a police handled problem or a school handled problem? I mean, who do you think should have the primary responsibility for stopping bullying?
I think at first it should be the school, because that's where it starts. But if it doesn't stop, I definitely feel like the police should be involved, only because like of the suicides and it's just way too extreme. Like, I think sometimes the only way kids will stop is if, like, police come into the picture and let them know that, like, it's a serious matter and it shouldn't be allowed.
Mm-hmm. The report I mentioned goes on to say that bullying has been closely associated with incidents of retribution and mass violence ranging from, say, Columbine to Virginia Tech and many more situations that have not made the national media. That, you know, it's a very broad term used to describe various behaviors such as hitting and kicking and name-calling and rumor-mongering. And rumor-mongering is probably one of the worst ones, because that's the kind I think we see mostly in cyber, you know, bullying or what have you, because something hits the Internet or goes out on an email, and it just seems to cover more and more people. And
yeah.
I can understand how you could probably be hurt worse by something that goes out to a lot of people, like, you know, rumor-mongering that doesn't have any bit of truth to it. And do you find that many young people just aren't able to handle this, and, you know, they just can't just brush it off? Have you heard of anyone who's been the victim of rumor-mongering?
I haven't heard of anybody, like, directly, but I know, like, it is a problem, because, like, Internet, like, especially with rumors, like, on the Internet, they don't go away. That's one thing, like, you can't take away. Like, if it's, like, a rumor going through school, eventually it'll die out.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when it's on the Internet, like, it's stuck there, like, unless the person that did it decides to be nice and, like, take it off. There's really no way to get it, like, I don't know, there's no way to get rid of it.
Yeah, you know, bullying can equate to harassment. It can also be discrimination sometimes, and
yeah.
it involves often constitutionally protected classes. What do you think about someone who harasses a younger child or a child with a physical disability?
I think that there's no excuse for that. I mean, I have a younger brother with autism, so like they can't help that. And it's just not fair to attack things that, it's not fair to attack anybody, but it's really not fair to attack people that, like, can't help how they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and sometimes people will come to your rescue and they'll say something like, okay, come on, you know, do that to somebody who's your equal. And I think that's only fair to do that, you know, and any young person should be commended when they come to the rescue of a person, you know, who may not be
yes.
as strong as the person bullying them. School administrators, I mean, they're kind of in a special, what's called in loco parentis. They're in your parents' stead when you're in school. So sometimes schools can be, you know, sued based upon foreseeability or reasonableness. Do you think then that young people who see bullying have a responsibility to report it to administrators at the school?
I would say yes. Only because, like you have to look at it, like, would you want it done to you? Like, when I see it, I tell someone, only because, like it's not going to stop. Because a lot of times the person being bullied won't stand up for themselves and are too afraid to say something. And, like, if you telling someone could save that person's life, like, you just never know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that many states now have anti-bullying laws. This is a very serious problem, and these laws may or may not prove to be statutory exceptions to the general rule that schools are only required to provide reasonable supervision. I think administrators perhaps have to be more careful. They have to be more observant, and young people have to feel free to report bullying without themselves being attacked by someone, you know, even bigger than they are, or who are, you know, bullies, to pick on the person who is reporting it. So do you know if this is a problem in your school community, or is bullying usually, you know, something that people are not afraid to report when they see it?
My school definitely had a lot of bullying issues. We actually had a kid try to kill himself in the bathroom last year because of bullying, because he had a disorder. So it's like, but I think this year it's been getting a little bit better because police had to get involved in my school.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Kelsey, you're very brave, and I want to thank you so much for what you're doing. I know that you're going to help a lot of young people. I want to wish you so much luck and best wishes for a super career, and thank you for sharing your story with us. And finally, I want to say to you that we look forward to hearing you when you become a superstar, and don't act like you don't know who we are then.
I won't. Thank you very much for having me on your show, too.
Okay. Do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's www.kenzieofficialmusic.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kenzie.
Thank you.
All right, and to our listeners, we encourage you and all of your friends to please join us as members of the National Congress of Black Women. When you look around the community and you think about community service at its best, we want you to think that's the National Congress of Black Women, because we are truly women making a difference in our community. So we hope that you will join us by calling 202-678-6788 or going to our website at nationalcongressbw.org. That's National Congress, B for Black, W for Women, .org, and clicking on membership, then follow the instructions there for becoming a member. We're here every Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and if you missed any one of our shows, just go to www.artistfirst.com. Click on Celebrating Truth, and that will take you to the page where you can hear our archived shows. Also, join us each Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Sirius XM Radio for the Mark Thompson Show called Sirius Left. I have the honor of co-hosting the Wednesday segment on women. And so we look forward to seeing you again next week. That's it for Celebrating Truth.